Good morning again to you. I am here to present to you because and introduce to others, since we do have some visitors in the house, our speaker for today. And this is my last act as women's ministry. It goes to the very capable hands of Becky Morton for the next year, and she has a passion for women's ministry. I'm not leaving her hanging, but our speaker for today is the wife of our pastor, Pastor Ben Ruda. She is the mother of a young adult, Selena, who is in Tennessee, and Christian, a teenager, who is a 10th grader? 11th grader. And she loves children, and she is a very likable person. She loves to talk, and she enjoys people as a whole. So when I asked her, and that must have been what I asked you in June, I think it was, if June, May, June, if she would, she graciously considered to do this. So let us give our attention, please, to Miss Denise Ruda, Mrs. Denise Ruda.
Thank you, Sister Ann. I want to thank everyone for coming up to worship. I ask that we all pray before we open up the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for this Sabbath. Thank you for the blessing of life and for this beautiful day you have blessed us with. I ask for everyone that's present and the members that were not able to come out. You know who they are. Ask that you be with each and every one of them, Lord. We ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I wanted to speak to you about, everyone knows the story of Ruth and Naomi. And I wanted to speak to you about the life that the two ladies led in. It was tough for them, as you know. Ruth was a Moabite, and Naomi and her family moved. As we read in Ruth 1, they moved from their land because of the famine. Now, we also learned that in the days of the judges ruled was a famine in the land, and our author wants us to connect the story with those, with the book of Judges. If you open up, read the book of Ruth in Ruth 1, we read Ruth 1, verse 1. It says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in a country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites with Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. As you guys know, the Bible mentions that the history of Judges, they had moral failure, military oppression, a call for help, the raising of deliverer, victory followed by a short period of peace, and before the Savior dies, the cycle begins again. You know, it just kept going on and on. And it seems like here we're having the same situation, but not military oppression. Here we have a case of famine. In the context, the famine would appear to be a sign of God chastening, just as the oppression of an enemy was elsewhere. And while there is no formal cry for help, the story resonates with Naomi and Ruth's need for deliverance. The story begins with the famine in Bethlehem, which ironically in Hebrew, everyone knows, what does Bethlehem mean? It means the bread, right? House of bread. So the land of promise is, you know, beset by a famine, which is the house of bread without bread. Elimelech decides to leave the promised land and migrate to Moab. If you know, there was a lot of tension between Israel and the Moab. If you go back, you know that Moab was a descendant from the Lot, from Lot via his incestuous relationship with his daughter. And we find that in Genesis 19. And there was no shoestring. The relationship between the two countries was awkward. They had a real awkward relationship. After a while living in Moab, Elimelech dies. And sure enough, his two sons married two Moabite ladies, women. after they had lived there about 10 years, they die too. And so they leave Naomi widowed, and Orpah widowed, and Ruth is widowed, and with no means of support. As you know, back in the days, women couldn't own land. It was, you know, either their husbands owned everything. But as you know, the women can inherit the land, but they weren't the owners of it. Meaning if they were still at age to keep producing, then the brother of the husband, he would come and marry the wife so they can have children. And if they had a male son, then he would inherit the land. But women were not allowed to be owners of the land. Now the woman, if she was left with a daughter, she can inherit the land, but it wasn't hers. So if she married someone from the tribe, that land would turn over to them. So she was not allowed to marry outside the tribe. Is that confusing? But that's the way the law was at that time. You know, the Lord sent them to this new land in Israel, and he gave each tribe a piece of lot, and they told them they couldn't sell the land and they couldn't change the borders. It was theirs, and it had to stay within that tribe. So when they were coming back, as you know, Naomi told Ruth and Orpah on the way back that she wanted them to go back. She didn't want them to go with her because she told them that she was old, and, you know, as we read in our story here, she was old, and she said, I have nothing for you. There's nothing I can do for you. You know, I'm too old to have children. If I have another child, you know, you'll be like 50 years old or so. Are you going to wait for them to grow? And there was no hope. That's the message she was giving them, that with her in their life, there was no hope. So she was telling them to go back to their land, go back to their gods, and they didn't want to. You know, they were like, no, we want to go back with you. They had a commitment with her, even though their commitment actually died when their husbands passed away. They had no more commitment with Naomi. But I guess when their mother-in-law, I mean, it's tough. When you have a mother-in-law, I've heard stories that, you know, people don't get along with mother-in-laws. But in this story, they loved their mother-in-law. They got along with her, and they had a good relationship. So they decided they wanted to stay with her. But Naomi, again, she, you know, pressured them and said, go back to your lands and to your gods. And as we read here, if we look here and open up your Bibles, let's see, to Ruth 1:11, but Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who would come before your husband? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. Now, in those days, as you know, either if it was going good for you, God is blessing you. If it's going bad for you, God is cursing you. Everything was related to either, that's the way they interpreted things. It was either God's hand was always punishing you or God's hand who was blessing you. And that's, as we know, that's not true. But that's the understanding that they had. And you also, as we keep reading about the life of Naomi, we see that she became really bitter. We read that she felt that God was punishing her, and she was not worth being, you know, living with her. So she pushed them. She tried to push them away, and it didn't work. Oprah went back, but Ruth stayed with her, and Ruth told her that she wanted to stay with her. She wanted to live with her until the day she died. She wanted, even if Naomi died, she still wanted to stay there until she died and be buried in the same place where Naomi was. That was her commitment with Naomi. And that, for me, was like an interpretation that that's the way we should be with our Lord, with God. We should be committed to God, and we should give ourselves to him, like the fullest, like Ruth was giving to Naomi. I feel like that's the way we should give our lives to the Lord every day. And it's hard. We know, I know it's hard, you know, committing our lives to God. There's a lot of things that come on our road, But with God's help, like I was telling the children this morning, if we read the Bible every day and we not just read it, but we focus on what we're reading and we meditate on what we're reading, we can use His words to say no to Satan. You know, I was telling the children this morning that the littlest things in the Bible, when you're in a situation in your life, have you noticed that sometimes a scripture comes to your mind when you're in a situation? And I feel like that is God talking to you. That is God reminding you of His promises, of the love that He has for you. And if we commit ourselves to God every day, it helps us get closer to Him. But it's the struggle that we all go through, and it's something that we need to commit ourselves to open up the Bible. And even if we read one passage that, you know, that day, but if we meditate on that passage and we ask God for help and we ask God to forgive our sins and to guide us in our lives, He will help us. But again, we have to commit ourselves. Now, as we know, the extreme conditions of Naomi and Ruth. Naomi was a happy person. And when she went back, what is it that the people, when they saw her, they were like, oh, this is Naomi. And she said no. She wanted the people to call her Mara. And as we know, Mara means bitterness. Naomi had become a bitter woman. And she became bitter because, again, she was the experiences in her life made her feel that God was punishing her, you know, moving out and going into a strange land, somewhere that shouldn't have gone. But that was the interpretation that she was getting, that the way she was feeling. And we find that in Ruth 1, 20 through 1. So if we read verse 20 and 21. Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me, and the Almighty brought misfortune upon me. So as you see here in her own words, she's saying that God has punished her. You know, God is punishing her for all that she's going through, the loss of her husband, the loss of her sons, having her go back home with no money, no future. Because as you know, if the woman doesn't have a widowed woman, if she's too old and she can't remarry and produce another child, then, you know, she has no future. That's the way it was back in the days. It's not like now we know that we can work and we can try to, you know, move forward. But it was hard back then. So when she went back home, I'm assuming that she was walking back home and thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to live on? Am I going to live on just the charity of my neighbors? Or who's going to help me? But again, Ruth stayed with her. She was young. And Ruth, she came out forward and she said, I'll work. I'll help. And again, it was a blessing at the time when they were going home. As you know, that was the time with the harvest. Ruth was able to go and glean. Now, if you remember, she was a Moabite woman, and she was a stranger, a foreigner in that land. And people don't do well with strangers or with someone that doesn't belong to your tribe or to your family. You know, we kind of cast them aside or we just look at them weird. But she did not care. She went out in the field and she was not embarrassed to be working out there. So, but again, the Lord was watching over her. She didn't know what was happening, but she noticed the change in someone, and that was Boaz. As you know, Boaz treated her kindly. And she was even surprised that Boaz was treating her kindly. As we read in Ruth 1, 2, chapter 2, verse 10, it says at this time, in Ruth 2, chapter 2, it says, the Lord bless you. They called back. Boaz asked the foreman for his harvest, whose young woman is that? Foreman replies, she is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till noon, till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And wherever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars and the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have you found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and your mother and your homeland and came to live with the Lord, to live with the people who do not know you." So it was a big commitment for her to leave a place that was comfortable for her, her circle of people, to come to a foreign land where no one knew her, where she was going to be a stranger to everyone, and their customs were way different than what she knew. But again, she was married to Naomi's husband for about 10 years, so I'm assuming that at the time he was, you know, talking to her about the God, the love of God, that love that God had for her, and his teachings of his God. So she probably had an idea of what she was going into when it came to that, about the religion aspect of it. But it was still hard, even for us. Like, if we're somewhere and we go to a gathering and there's no one we know, you know, what do we do? The way I am, I'm not a social person. I'll go somewhere and be like, "Hi," but then I feel embarrassed and I'll sit in the corner, I'll listen to someone, I'll find a little, you know. Other people are more extrovert and they'll talk, but it's not like that with everyone. And Ruth, the personality that she was outgoing, and she was willing to do what she had to do to help Naomi. Again, that was her commitment to Naomi. So we need to remember that Naomi was bitter and angry because, again, she thought she was being punished for the move to the Moabite and because her husband passed away. But what she didn't know was that Ruth's life was going to change, and no one knew the plans that the Lord had for her. As we know in the story that we've read, Ruth was a good person. Ruth was, maybe she didn't know about God and the love, but she was good. She loved Naomi, and we need to take that as an example that sometimes, you know, people who don't know God doesn't mean that they're bad or evil. No, we all need to know that we all are children of God and that we should treat each other with love. No matter who we are or where we come from or what religion we're from, we're still children of God. You know, He is our Father and we are the same. So we need to remember that. That's a good point that we learn in the story of Ruth and Naomi, that no matter who we are, we're still one, right? Because God is our Lord. Now, we have to remember that Ruth was a widow and she had no heir in Israel. She can't claim anything, any land, because one, you know, she's a woman, and two, she was a Moabite. She was a foreigner. So we need to remember that she was also not a virgin anymore, so it was going to be hard for her to find a husband. You know, her prospects of marriage was very difficult. Any member of the family who married Ruth could not claim their children, but as the descendants of her deceased husband, anyone who marries Ruth had to also share their inheritance with the child. So the Redeemer was the closest to the kin. Who would marry her and provide as an heir to protect the name of this deceased family member. Ruth was a very loving and compassionate and loyal person. She decided to follow her bitter mother-in-law to another country. Ruth was a courageous woman. She stepped out of her circle of security, crossed the hills of Bethlehem, and took on a new country, new religion, new family, new everything in her life. Little did she know that her daring move would place her directly into King David's royal lineup. She was a very hard worker. She decided to take a very hard work in order to provide for her family. You know, she didn't come over to her mother-in-law's and didn't do anything. On the contrary, she helped and she was hands-on. She had faith in God of Israel. Her faith transitioned from faith in the Moabite divinities to their Israel true God. Her faith is evident in her desire to follow that God and to serve him. Her faith is evident in the willingness to accept the very difficult challenges in her life with faith and optimism in God. We also learned what she had to go through to find a husband, right? Naomi came up with a plan for her. When I remember reading this when I was younger, and they always told us the story of Ruth, I thought it was kind of odd that Naomi would have, I thought it was a trick. You know, when you get older, you start understanding the story more. But I'm like, why would Naomi have Ruth trick Boaz, you know? And but as you get older, you realize that it's not a trick, you know? It was a way of finding her husband, but in a decent manner. Nowadays, you know, our youth, our society has changed. I remember Mom telling me that a woman never goes up to a man back in her days, right? Nowadays, women are throwing themselves to men. And that is not good, they say, you know? But supposedly women have no shame today and they just throw themselves. But my mom was telling me that back in the days, you couldn't do that because it didn't look good. It wasn't proper for a young lady to do that. And in the story, you have Naomi telling Ruth to go to the, if we read that here, on chapter 3, verse 1. One day Naomi and her mother-in-law said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? It's not Boaz with those servant girls you have been a kinsman of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note that the place where he is lying, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law had told her. So when Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over and lied down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Soon in the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "The kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor." So instead of turning her away and mistreating her, he was kind to her, wasn't he? He was loving. He didn't make her feel bad, you know, embarrass her. No, he was kind to her. He showed love. He showed kindness. And this is another part of the story that I see. I see Boaz as the way God would treat us. You know, he was kind. No matter what we do in our lives, God still loves us. God still takes care of us. He doesn't turn his back on us like the way we turn our back on him when we're upset. Because again, we blame God for everything bad that happens in our lives. And in reality, it's not God. You know, it's not his fault that sometimes we trip and fall. But again, the Lord doesn't turn his back on us. And that's the way I saw Boaz as it's like the image of God, not pushing her away, throwing her away, or mistreating her. On the contrary, as you keep reading on, he helps her. He tells her, "I will help you find someone." And he does. It's not like he just says words and, you know, nothing happens. No, he kept his promise. He helped. And there was someone there who probably could have married her, but at the end, when they found out that they had to give part of his money to her to share his wealth, he decided not to. So again, he stepped in and he decided to marry her and to take care of her and the family. And that's the way God works with us in our lives. He's always willing to help us. He's always willing to step in and guide us. But now, are we listening when God steps in to help us? Or are we asking God to help, and then at the end we decide to do what we want to do? And I feel like sometimes as humans, as we jump ahead. You know, we ask God for guidance, and we don't wait for his answer. we just jump ahead. And that's where we need to stop and ask God to help. We have a lot of issues, you know, and God is so patient with us and loving. And we need to understand that He is so merciful with us in our lives. You know, I'm not perfect. As a youth, I was not perfect at all. I had my issues. I gave my parents grief, and they know it. Whenever they come visit, you can ask them. But you know what? They loved me. They loved me no matter how many times I fell. My mom was there. My dad was there to take care of me. And that's the way God loves us and takes care of us. You know, I tell my children, you can turn away from God. You can say, I'm not going to church this Sabbath. Imagine if God said that to us. You know what? I'm not going to take care of you today. You keep asking for the same thing. I'm busy. I don't have time for you. Imagine if He did that to us. How would our lives be? But no, He doesn't. On the contrary, He listens and He's there and He tries to guide us so many times. He talks to us and we don't listen, we don't hear. And if we do, we turn our back still. But we need to remember that God, He just wants the best for us. He doesn't want us to keep tripping and falling. You know, He wants to help. But again, if you do trip and fall, just, you know, get right back up. Because He'll be there to grab your hand and to pick you up. Now, we need to remember that Boaz fights for Ruth on Ruth's behalf. He talks to the other person in the family that could help Naomi and Ruth. But the person refuses to offer since it implies loss of revenue and property. Boaz then redeems Ruth. Together, they start a new family. The people in Bethlehem were surprised that he would marry a Moabite descendant woman, a very important change in the life of Naomi and Ruth. Boaz is clear type of Christ in his actions of merciful redeemer of the human race. The story of Ruth is a reminder of how intensely God is looking for persons that are rejected, misfits, damaged goods. These persons have a profound value in the heart of God. You and I, we are those people. We abandon God at times, continue sinning, hurting each other, destroying others, ourselves. But God still cares. God still loves us. God's still there. And He will always be there with His arms open for you. So no matter what you've done in your life, don't think that God doesn't accept you. On the contrary, that's when He wants you even more. Don't forget, God loves you. He doesn't love the sin that we commit, but He loves you. He loves you no matter what. And that's what He wants you to always remember, that no matter how down in the dirt you are, how down in the dirt we are, He's still there with His arms out to you, ready to pick you up and embrace you. May God continue guiding your spiritual.